I'd like to begin today in Proverbs 26. We'll read verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 26, 18. Let's see. Oh, okay. I wondered. I went to the wrong one here. Here it is. 26, 18. As a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and said, "Am I not in sport?" When someone deceives or hurts his neighbor by lies, or reporting false things concerning him, or cheating him in trade or commerce, or taking his goods privately. And then when he's caught, then he says, "Well, I didn't mean any mischief. It was just all in fun. And am I not in sport? You know, don't be angry. I meant no harm. It's just all a mere joke." Well, that's only an excuse. It's just as bad an excuse as if you set fire on his house and says, "Oh, I was just joking." Many things, deeds, or ideas, or practices are claimed to be just harmless fun. They even include calling evil good. Some practical jokes might be harmless as long as they're genuinely kind, they don't hurt or offend or embarrass anyone. Sometimes they have a lie attached to the joke or trick. So even if the practical joke itself might be harmless, the lie would still be a lie. This idea of practical jokes or playing tricks or deceiving someone isn't new. But some practical jokes can be extremely destructive. But there's another line of thinking that people view as harmless fun, but in fact is extremely destructive in a spiritual sense. That's in the area of holidays and traditions. Many holidays and traditions are filled with or based on lies. Now, as we go into the fall and then winter season, we in America, we have quite a few holidays. I looked up August and September holidays and observances from a link. It said these were from sources across the web, so I don't know anything more about them than their titles. So here's just a few from August. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. National Lazy Day. Girlfriend Day. Spider-Man Day. Respect for Parents Day. September has these along with many others. American Chess Day. World Letter Writing Day. National Little Black Dress Day. And the list just goes on and on. I think one was even a National Video Game Day. Now, some of these holidays and the observances, they could just be harmless fun. As I said, I don't know anything about them except their titles. But there are holidays and observances that are not harmless. They can even be dangerous and evil. But they're dressed up and presented as harmless fun, but they're truly deceitful. So today we'll take a closer look at some of the holidays and observances that people in general consider to be just harmless fun, but in reality, their offenses are even hated by God. So the title for the sermon, Harmless Fun or Spiritual Deception. Harmless fun or spiritual deception. Most people today really do not concern themselves with spiritual truth. We know from Revelation 12, Satan deceives the whole world. Well, part of that deception is the use of pagan holidays and festivals. They're presented as harmless fun in a lot of cases, but they're designed to turn people away from God's true holy days and instead accept pagan holidays or idolatrous teachings or practices. You know, there are, of course, some holidays that are fine and good and proper. Thanksgiving Day is certainly an acceptable holiday to observe. Celebrating the 4th of July is certainly not wrong. We acknowledge God did, in fact, give us this wonderful nation and the freedom and the great abundance that came along with it. There's other national holidays that aren't wrong. I should mention birthdays are not religious holidays, so therefore it's not wrong to acknowledge someone's birthday. You know, the making a wish practice, you might want to leave that off, but normally there's not any worship service involved with birthdays. Now, before we get to the identity of some of these pagan and false religious holidays, we can notice God's instruction about getting caught up with these false ways, false worship. Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 5. Deuteronomy 17, this puts the focus on the idolatrous teaching of sun worship. Sun worship seems to have been a major deception among all those surrounding nations. Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 5. If there be found among you within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, man or woman, that has worked wickedness in the sight of the Lord your God in the transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and if he told you and you've heard of it, and inquired diligently, so not just listening to gossip, and behold, it's true and the thing is certain that such abomination is worked in Israel, then shall you bring forth that man or woman who has committed that wicked thing to your gates, even that man or woman shall stone them with stones till they die. That was such a serious sin that God simply wasn't going to put up with it. Today, people do this very thing, and they most likely do not even have a clue about what they're actually doing. We'll see that in a few moments. First, let's go over to Ezekiel 8, 13 through 15. We'll see some sinful activity here. Ezekiel 8. And verse 13. He said also to me, turn you yet again, and you'll see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. And then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn yet again, and you'll see greater abominations than these. Well, first of all, what were these? You can read right over that and miss the point. God was calling that behavior a great abomination. So what's the truth of the matter? What's going on here? Albert Barnes notes in the Bible, makes this comment. This solemnity was of a twofold character. First, that of mourning, in which the death of Adonis was bewailed with extravagant sorrow. And after a few days, the mourning gave place to wild rejoicing for his restoration of life. This was a revival of nature worship under another form. The death of Adonis symbolized the suspension of the productive powers of nature, which were in due time revived. Accordingly, this time of the festival was the summer solstice. And in the east, nature seems to wither and die under the scorching heat of the sun and then burst again into new life. At the same time, there was a connection between this and sun worship, and that the decline of the sun, the decline of nature, could look alike and all represented by this death of Adonis. And that's what God's referring to here, or Ezekiel does, that they kept those days. They were in complete accordance with the character of nature worship, and that was popular in the East. Eventually, it led to unbridled license and excess. And such was in Ezekiel's day, one day of the most detestable forms of idolatry. It says, therefore, the idolatrous priests must, in worshiping the false sun god, turn their backs upon the true God. The worship of the heavenly bodies was one of the earliest forms of idolatry. And that was expressly forbidden. We read that in Deuteronomy 17. Well, Job mentions that as well. Job 31, 26 to 28. Job 31, 26. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart had been secretly enticed, or my mouth had kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. And then over in 2 Kings 23, 1 through 11, it mentions the sun and moon worship. I'll just read verse 5 and verse 11. 2 Kings 23. This is when King Josiah read the law. He put a stop to these abominations. 2 Kings 23, 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high place in the cities of Judah, but in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, and the planets, and all the host of heaven. And in verse 11, it says, he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. Those who adorned the sun had horses. They mounted every morning to go out to meet the sun when it rose. And then in the East, because of the swiftness of the horse, it was dedicated to the sun, and the Greeks and Romans believed the chariot of the sun was drawn by four horses. I want to mention all of this because there is coming a time of great deception that could deceive even the brethren. If we're not staying close to God and making sure we don't get deceived about things that others label harmless fun. So that brings us to the first celebration I'll bring to your attention, the summer solstice. What is the summer solstice? During the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere, the Earth's axis is tilted most towards the sun. It gives us the longest day of the year and then the shortest night. And it always occurs at the end of June. This year it was on Friday, June 20th. Now, the summer solstice is an actual physical event, but why do people celebrate it? There's many articles about it, but one I read said that for thousands of years, people celebrated the summer and winter solstices as markers of the planting and harvest season. Early pagans honored the summer solstice as a time to glorify the sun god, adorning themselves with garlands of herbs and flowers, believed to ward off evil spirits. And today, these traditions live on, with solstice celebrations symbolizing new life, light, renewal, fertility, and abundance, both within ourselves and the world around us. The solstice fires, or pagan solstice fires, were lit in the Middle Ages, out in the fields to prevent witches and magicians from passing through during the night. So I looked that up. Summer solstice, you can find party ideas, food to serve, and so much more. It's presented as harmless fun, but the reality is that it is, in fact, sun worship and nature worship. And the Creator God is left out of the picture. I know we're not going to do this practice as a holiday, but my point is we have to know the truth about such things. You can't just accept holidays or festivals that this world endorses as being acceptable to God. We can't just carelessly think these days or festivals are not a big deal. They're spiritually deceptive activities designed to lead us astray from God's true holy days. Now here's another deceptive holiday, Groundhog Day. Who would think that is anything except harmless fun? Kind of stupid and silly, but we all know Christmas and Easter are pagan. They're false and deceptive teachings and holidays. They're not harmless fun with all the lies connected to that. And we might not think of some of the other days people celebrate as holidays or festivals as being just as bad and just as deceptive. But Groundhog Day, is it cute and harmless? Is it just a bit of fun? Here's a question someone sent into the Beyond Today magazine asking about Groundhog Day. So here's a quote, the answer. Well, first of all, here's the question. You say Christians shouldn't celebrate Christmas and Easter because of their pagan origins. But what about minor occasions like those coming up in late winter, Groundhog Day, Valentine's Day, Mardi Gras? Aren't these just harmless fun? Well, here's a reply to their question. So, quoting now from Beyond Today. Scripture makes clear we're not to adopt pagan worship practices as part of our worship of the true God. Deuteronomy 12, 29 to 32. Well, let's turn there. Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. We can read what God's word has to say about these days and these activities. Deuteronomy 12, 29. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, where you go to possess them, and you succeed them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before you. And that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so to the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done to their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they burnt in fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Don't add to it or diminish from it. All right, continuing now with the answer. Yet, what if one engages in these not to worship God, but just for amusement? Well, God wants us to remove all vestiges of pagan worship from our lives. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 4. Well, let's read that. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 4. Here it says, these are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire, and hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. So back to the reply to the question, is this all harmless fun? There are, of course, some customs of ancient pagans that didn't originate in worship. I don't know what that would be, but if it hadn't nothing to do with worship, that could be fine. But if something originated in pagan worship, we must refuse. Okay, considering the occasions mentioned above, the details here are easy to confirm through web searches and standard encyclopedias. So, Groundhog Day, February 2nd. It might seem innocent, but it comes from the pagan Celtic celebration of Imbolc in honor of the spring fertility goddess Bridget and the winter goddess Calaic, the old hag. So that's different forms of the mother goddess. Marking the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, it remains one of the Wiccans, or the witches, 8 high Sabbaths today. With days lengthening, it observed the returning of the light, fires being lit to encourage that. And it involves weather divination. So getting into the occult here. A bright day indicated by shamanistic observance of badgers or other small animals poking out of holes to see their shadow. Well, that meant the winter goddess was deciding to abide in the world the 6 weeks or 40 days or so until spring. That word Imbolc means in the belly for fertility or washing or cleansing, symbolizing purification for spring birth. It's thought to be associated with the purification rituals of the Roman festival from which we get Valentine's. So this day with its ritual lighting was observed by, it was absorbed by the Catholic Church as Candlemas, claimed to be the day when the baby Jesus was presented in the temple 40 days from his supposed birth at Christmas. See, but that's all false. Now here's the thing. When German immigrants brought the observance to Pennsylvania in America, they swapped in the groundhog as the animal to use in the weather divination. Consider that this is still a worship day for witches and many other religions that take the name Christian. It's not my purpose to name those specific religions that do that. Here's another holiday people celebrate believing it's harmless fun. But in truth, it's an evil practice rooted in immorality. And continuing with this answer from Beyond Today. The next one mentioned is Valentine's Day. This was the Roman, Fabula, named after leather straps from a sacrifice meant to purify people from their past year's sins. The straps were used to strike women to make them fertile. And that's where we get the month name February. It became part of that festival in honor of Lupercus, a form of Faunus or Pan, god of shepherds and fruitfulness. And it also honored Rome's founders, Romulus and Remus, who were believed to have been nursed by a she-wolf and or Lupa in the cave, and it was known, as Lupercal, and that's where you get the name of that god, which, of course, you just get more and more nonsense. But the festival, they believe that. It was a time of drawing names for pairing off for immoral sexual union. And, of course, this was related to the love god Cupid and his mother Venus. There also seems to be a relation to the ancient hunter of wolves going all the way back to Nimrod in the Bible. So maybe that original Valentinus or strong man in the name means, so maybe they associate that with him too. Others have argued it commemorated another Gnostic teacher, Valentinus, with his blasphemous divine bridal chamber ritual sacred sex. Okay, so it's still a worship occasion for many other religions that take the name Christian. The article names somebody, again, it's not my purpose to name those religions. But I'm pointing out, even today, people think of these days and practices as harmless fun. You might send a Valentine's Day card to somebody. Mardi Gras is mentioned next. What about Mardi Gras? Cities today celebrate Mardi Gras with flamboyant parades, live music, over-the-top costumes. But the tradition dates back thousands of years to medieval Rome, first held as a compromise between the Catholic Church and ancient pagan harvest festivals. Mardi Gras incorporated the revelry and indulgence of Saturnalia, a huge public banquet with gifts and nonstop parties in the name of Saturn, in a prelude to Lent, the 40 days of fasting from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. Meaning Fat Tuesday in French, it's the final day of gorging and partying before Ash Wednesday starts the 40 days of Lent till Easter. It comes at the end of a celebratory period called Carnival, it refers to being absolved of sins through confession and penance before going into Lent. Lent is a form of an old English and dramatic word meaning spring season, perhaps from the day's lengthening. So it approximates the period of purification following those pagan days in the spring equinox. So while we see 40-day fasts in the Bible, they're not in association with approaching the biblical spring festival season. And the other hand, though, we do find lengthy fast periods preceding various pagan resurrection festivals. So it's clear, all these observances originated in pagan worship. They're still considered worship days by some, but many observe them as fun time, unrelated to religion. Is it acceptable for us to participate in them? And certainly not, according to the verses we've seen and then other numerous ones. You know, we don't just blindly go along. So we have to separate ourselves from all those customs. God detests them, and so should we. Some of the other major holidays and festivals the world celebrates are coming up. They're associated with Christianity by people who truly believe they're pleasing or at least okay with God. Halloween is accepted by people who take the name Christian but do not or are not willing to see and admit the evil connected with such a pagan festival. I just made myself a little note here. A recent survey found 77% of U.S. adults say Halloween is a harmless holiday. Every year in the United States alone, around $8 to $10 billion is spent on Halloween-related products. Many think dressing children up as zombies, mummies, vampires, witches or warlocks, werewolves, Frankenstein, Chewbacca, sorcerers, some other superhero, they think all of that is harmless. But clearly this practice is demonic, it's not of God. I don't want to go on and on about the deceptions involved with accepting such a festival as good instead of evil, except to say people take it as just harmless fun. The same comments could be made for Christmas and Easter. They're not harmless fun. Now, you might think all of this is unnecessary to talk about because we all know about most of these days. Yet, many of us also know some people who said they knew all of this, but then actually went back into keeping and observing these very days. I'll just remind us of Matthew 24:24. Matthew 24:24. It says, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Some of those people, we believed at the time, were part of the elect, but they did return to pagan practices. How did that happen? I do not know the specifics, but I do know there had to be a letting down of being very careful to live by every word of God. Once the idea that something could be just harmless fun grows into a belief that it is in fact just harmless fun, then the idea is accepted as truth. This message is not just about holidays and festivals that the world calls good and fun. It's about any behavior or activity that is in conflict with God's pure way. I'll give you an example of what some would consider harmless fun. That's the game Spin the Bottle. Now, some of you know what that is. Well, that game belittles the sacredness of marriage. I don't want to say more if there's little ears listening. I don't know, we have little children here? I think so. Anyway, so I don't want to mention more about that. But telling children that babies are delivered by a stork, dropping the baby down the chimney, or telling them the tooth fairy will put some money under their pillow if they leave one of their teeth under the pillow, those are not harmless fun fables. They're lies. Those fables are not okay to tell the children. They're not harmless fun. We need to take God's word extremely serious. God tells us in Revelation 21:8, all liars go into the lake of fire. I mean, obviously, if they don't repent. He does not make an exception for little lies or seemingly harmless lies. All lies are harmless, are not harmless fun. Most nursery rhymes, which many think are harmless, often depict macabre themes about death, murder, immorality, domestic violence, other bizarre motifs, cannibalism even, like, Hansel and Gretel and some others. Rhymes are intended to influence the minds of small children. The same kind of influence can be found in children's shows on television, the internet. Some shows present themes of magic, witchcraft, or the supernatural. A child's exposure can present the occult in a positive way. The Bible warns us, James 1:27, our genuine worship before God has to be unspotted by the influences of this world. Just a few more things. Playing cards for money or any gambling, that's not harmless fun. You know, thinking back to when we were kids, taking or stealing apples from someone's tree without their permission, that wasn't harmless fun. We used to think it was when we were kids. But when the beast power and the false prophet come on the scene with their lying wonders, whatever signs they do, they will deceive many. Some of their deceit may be presented as just harmless fun. Who knows? We're warned several times, be careful to be sober-minded in a spiritual sense. We can have fun, of course, but it needs to be pure and clean within God's boundaries. Should also mention New Year's. People have fun at New Year's parties, but New Year's Day, it's a false teaching. It's not harmless. New Year's Day origin can be traced back to ancient Rome. It was associated with the god Janus, the deity of beginnings and transitions. The Romans initially celebrated the new year around the vernal equinox, but then over time they shifted the start of the year to January, influenced by the deity Janus, and then the Roman calendar, that reformed by Julius Caesar. And the date was later formalized with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. Okay, so this is more than just being careful about fun associated with world's holidays. It's about different ideas, false teachings presented as good or okay. You know, they may be presented to include fun, but at the core, they're contrary to God's laws. Here was an article on New Age influence in schools, public education, or pagan indoctrination from the Christian Research Journal, August 15, 2023. Here's what it says. Public schools and children in America have become strategic targets for conversion to the ideology of the New Age movement. It can be conclusively demonstrated that occult New Age philosophy and practices have been integrated into public educational curricula and programs. This intrusion is especially evident in certain health, guidance counseling, gifted sex and drug education programs. The use of New Age psychotherapeutic programs is usurping parental authority. So again, the point of this message is that we stop and think about what we do day to day, year to year. What do we think is harmless fun? And do we know if it really is or not? The world is deceived, and we have to take God's word very seriously. A couple scriptures here, 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4 and verse 7. Here it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober, in other words, serious-minded, and watch unto prayer. And then over in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, again it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So how do we stop and think about what we do day to day, year to year? How do we control our thoughts and bring every one of them into the captivity of the obedience of Christ? How do we avoid being deceived into thinking pagan days or festivals are really harmless? Well, the key is we have to love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2. All these pagan days, they're filled with lies, and Satan uses them to deceive people into serving false gods, false ways. 2 Thessalonians 2, starting verse 8. And then shall the lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There is a strong delusion that these days are good, they're fun, they're harmless, certain amount of pleasure connected with them. But they're still lies. They're intended to worship a false god. God gives his holy days that are true and good and holy. I'd like to mention something from another article from the Beyond Today, May-June 2025 issue. It's titled, How 8 False Feasts Supplanted God's 8 True Feasts. I'll just read the heading for each one. You can read that article later if you like. It mentions how each holy day has been substituted for a fraudulent holiday. The first one, Sunday for the Sabbath, Good Friday for Passover, Easter Sunday for the Days of Unleavened Bread, Whit Sunday for Pentecost, Halloween and All Saints' Day for the Feast of Trumpets, All Souls' Day for the Day of Atonement, Christmas for the Feast of Tabernacles, New Year's for the eighth day of the Last Great Day. If we determine we're going to avoid all false religious holidays, everything related to them, well, God will help us and to even avoid thinking about joining in any part or any celebration of the pagan or false holidays. Now, when these days come around, and any of our friends or relatives, if they're not in the church, and they invite us or even expect us to join them in their holiday festivals or activities, we need to politely explain we don't observe those days, and we will not be attending. We've seen other religions believe some things are okay, but that we don't believe are okay. The holidays this world celebrates, they don't reveal God's purpose for creating humans in the first place. In less than 2 weeks, we'll celebrate the Day of Trumpets. That holy day teaches us something other religions, they do not believe that we do believe. We are children of God and actually will be born into the God family. They don't believe that. But notice Romans 8, 14 through 19. Romans 8. Starting in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. We also know from 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 53, well, we'll go read that too. That reveals we'll be changed from flesh to spirit at Christ's return. Oops, I gotta go back this way. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, the mortal must put on immortality. The world is not teaching their children these truths. The world is not teaching their children to observe God's holy days. They teach lies instead. Philippians 2:5 tells us we have a great responsibility to have the mind of Christ in us. That Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. People think it's okay to tell the children lies about Easter bunnies, Santa Claus, but you know, God doesn't lie. So my point is, when we have the mind of Christ, we must not take lightly anything others might think is cute and harmless, when in reality it's sinful and untrue. We certainly mustn't lie about any of these things. Again, we have to be sober-minded about our calling, know what's good, what's evil. I mentioned the fall holy days will begin here in less than 2 weeks, beginning with trumpets. That day will catch this world off guard. It should not catch us off guard. We all need to prepare now. We're told that in Revelation 19, that a bride does that for her wedding. She gets prepared. Anyone with a Laodicean attitude, lukewarm, complacent about spiritual matters, will not be prepared for the Day of Trumpets. They'll have some hard lessons to learn. Today, we are not deceived about which days we should observe and celebrate in a religious sense. We all prepare and look forward to them with the understanding of how great a blessing they are to us and for us. To begin to wrap this up, I'd like to read a Sabbath note Mr. Dan Dowd sent out a couple weeks ago. For anyone who doesn't know, Mr. Dowd is the regional pastor for our area. Here's what he wrote under the heading, Ready to Hear. Summer is winding down quickly, and the fall holy days will be here in just a little more than 3 weeks. As we look forward to the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day, we have the wonderful opportunity to receive a concentrated dose of hearing God's word expounded like no other time of the year. In observing these holy days, we will hear approximately 13 sermons, 9 sermonettes, several Bible studies. Add to this the expanded opportunities for godly fellowship, serving, and practicing God's way of life, and we have a foretaste of God's kingdom like no other time of the year. In Deuteronomy 16:16, we're reminded to come before God in the 3 holy day seasons he established, not come before him empty. We read that verse primarily in context of the offerings we're to bring before God, but there's another aspect of applying that verse as well. Do we come before God empty of attention? The men who will present God's word have spent many hours putting together the messages that we'll hear. And we ask in our prayers that God would inspire our hearing of those messages. Are we coming with a heart and mind ready to hear? God's Spirit, as expressed through his word, is not something to casually consider. He removes that spirit from those who misuse it or don't use it at all. He states that his desire is for his spirit to make a return on his investment. That is, not to return to him empty or void. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in a thing for which I sent it. That's Isaiah 55:11. Interesting enough, the word void, there's the same word empty in Deuteronomy 16:16. So then he asks this question. Will we prosper because of the word we will hear in the coming weeks? Will we have ears eager to hear the word of God? Will we have the strength of character to make the most of this opportunity so it can help carry us through the coming winter months? Let's make the most of these coming days, rejoice in God's feast days, and take on more of the mind of Christ. Again, that was from Mr. Dowd. All right, for a final scripture, I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Wherefore, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So this message is about whatever we do, not just about any of the fun things that we do. Whatever we believe and practice and celebrate, or do for work or play or fun has to be done to the glory of God. Have some fun. Enjoy the blessings God so generously gives us. But whatever we celebrate or partake of or even do for fun, let's all make sure that it is truly harmless fun and not spiritual deception.